Introduction. Cancer is the most curable of all chronic diseases. Today, the goal is not merely to prolong life, the best that could be hoped for in the past, but to cure the patient of the disease. Everyone cannot beat cancer. Some people are going to succumb to it. If you try to fight it, however, you have a chance of beating it. This book is not written to entertain or lecture. It is written as concisely as possible by a layman in layman's language to help the individual who has cancer have the best possible chance of beating it. Be positive. Start with the assumption that everything in this book applies to you. Don't be negative. Don't assume that anything may be fine for someone else, but not for you. That particular constructive suggestion is specifically for you. Don't knock it until you've tried it. After you give it a fair trial, then and only then can you honestly say it isn't for you. You are a unique person. You have been brought up with individual standards, practicing your own set of customs based on your beliefs from the experiences to which you were exposed. Not only is no one else identical to you, but they are not even similar to you. There will be many things in this book that you can readily identify with and completely understand. Other facets will seem contrary to your nature and beyond belief or comprehension. I urge you to remember that these are generally not only my personal opinions or beliefs, they are the recommendations of outstanding scientists, physicians, and other professionals who deal with cancer patients regularly. The only purpose in writing this book is to see that you have the best chance of beating cancer as easily as possible. We are not writing this book for money. We will never get one penny from it. We are not writing it for ego. We have had more than enough accolades, even though we always like to see your letters. We are not writing this book to keep ourselves busy. There are more things we want to do than we have time for. We don't know you, and we probably will never meet you. We are writing this book for your benefit only. Nothing is put in this book to fill space. You got it to help you fight cancer, not to keep you busy reading. It is not possible to emphasize enough how important every item expressed is to the assurance of recovery. Don't rationalize that one little item can be ignored without jeopardizing your chances of recovery. That single factor that you have never heard of and probably doubt the validity of and may seem like a nuisance could be the key to recovery. Let me assure you that each thought has been originated by someone other than me. They have been discussed over and over by many people. They have been tried by numerous cancer patients before you and are believed to be a positive factor in recovery. Furthermore, nothing contained herein is believed to have any downside risk. Many other things could have been put in but might pose a potential risk for some people. It is believed that nothing in this book, if properly implemented, has any negative possibility. We want to go on record cautioning you that these are only suggestions for you to try in a positive view. In all probability, every detail will not be constructive for each individual. Do not get guilty feelings if you try something and do not feel that it is helping you. Very rarely can anyone actually feel cancer leaving. It is important, however, to try anything that is not harmful because it might help, but have no guilt feelings if it does not. It is my personal opinion that the greatest cause of mortality from cancer is the individual equating death and cancer. When an individual is diagnosed with a malignancy, their first assumption is that it will eventually kill them, and they therefore do not muster all their resources to fight this vicious disease. Cancer is a word, not a sentence. Often, the physician who makes the initial diagnosis is a contributor to the problem. If he graduated medical school only 15 years ago, over half the cancers he was told were untreatable when he was in school are today curable to some degree. Furthermore, the physician has seen the suffering that went along with some of the primitive treatments in the past, and he cannot see putting his beloved patient through this. He recommends they go home and make themselves as comfortable as possible for the time they have to live. I am not trying to say that everyone can beat cancer. Certainly some people are going to die from it, no matter what they do. I am saying, however, that if a person does not try, there is no way they can beat it. If they do try, they have a chance, and I believe it can do nothing but improve the quality of their life. To me, there was nothing worse than waiting to die, with no hope. Whatever treatments I went through did not compare to the lack of hope I had the first 5 days after diagnosis. I was fighting to live rather than waiting to die. It is believed that the average person gets cancer 6 times a year. Their immune system destroys the cancer cells, and they know nothing about it. Occasionally, something comes along to depress the immune system, which allows these malignant cells to get a foothold and multiply. When the immune system recovers, the cancer is already too well established, and they have a detectable case of cancer. It is often discovered by a general doctor who tells the patient there is no hope, further depressing the immune system. The patient has complete confidence in this doctor who represents the entire medical system, so there is no purpose in getting a second opinion or going elsewhere. The patient is totally out of control at this point, compounding the problem. There have been numerous studies documenting the effects of stress on the immune system, both with animals and individuals. It has been demonstrated that tumors grow faster in mice under stress. Mice have fared worse and died sooner when they were made to feel helpless. The incidence of cancer in individuals following a traumatic event, such as the death of a spouse or a child or retirement, has been shown to increase dramatically. It has even been demonstrated that individuals with suicidal tendencies have a higher incidence of cancer, indicating that cancer could be a legal method of committing suicide. Couple this with the fact that rarely is cancer ever diagnosed by an oncologist. Around 85% of all cancer patients do not use an oncologist as their primary physician. Cancer is an extremely complex array of over 200 different diseases with at least 6 common methods of treatment, any one of which could successfully treat some cancer, but generally they are given in combination. If it is not treated promptly, properly, and thoroughly, there usually is no second chance. Progress in cancer treatments is being made at such a rapid pace that no single individual could conceivably know all the latest and best treatments for any single type of cancer, let alone all the different cancers. It is for these reasons that I believe the greatest single mortality factor in cancer is the patient believing that death and cancer are synonymous. Promptly getting the patient to a multidisciplinary panel or to a board-certified oncologist for a second opinion could do more to save lives than anything else. If they try, they have a good chance. If they don't, they are as good as dead. Cancer mortality has dropped dramatically. The age-adjusted cancer death rate has decreased by 2.1% per year from 2002 to 2004. Almost twice the annual decline of 1.1% per year from 1993 to 2002. Much of this can be attributed to early detection, qualified second opinions, and prompt and proper treatment. We agree with this completely, but believe they are failing to give credit to the psychological changes that have taken place in the same period. The public has been bombarded with stories of cancer successes. Individuals who were brought up to believe that a diagnosis of cancer was equivalent to impending death were suddenly aware that if they tried to fight, they had an excellent chance, better than 60%, of beating the disease. Further, that if they caught the disease earlier, their chances of successful treatment were dramatically enhanced to 80%, and the treatments are not as bad as they have been touted because they have been improved. One national figure in the cancer war stated, "It is likely that there will be a 25% decrease in the overall death rate from cancer, and possibly as much as 50% decrease in the next 20 years. Progress is being made. There are 2 caveats in the data. First, the overall death rate, as compared to the age-adjusted death rate, continues to rise because the population is aging and cancer is a disease of old age. Physicians predict cancer will surpass heart disease as the nation's leading killer. Second, while African Americans have shown substantial improvements, the overall death rate is still 38% higher in black men than in white men. We believe that this second factor is primarily due to black men believing they cannot get as good medical treatment and therefore not trying to beat it or procrastinating. A great deal of publicity of this fact should substantially reduce the adverse mortality figures.